Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here, and I'm very excited about the topic that I'm presenting to you. I have a 9-year history as a neonatal intensive care nurse, so as I was listening to the presentations that preceded mine, I gleaned little glimpses of things that I find very applicable to this presentation as well. And I hope that you will find them as we go through. If not, you can ask me about them at the end. So I would like to thank Dr. Atab, who's sitting down here. He's my dissertation chair and mentor, and he has helped weave me through this process. We have no relationships to disclose. By way of introduction, worldwide every year, nearly 13 million babies are born prematurely. When we bring that to the level of the United States as a whole, the rate of preterm birth has increased greater than 30% since 1981, a statistic that I think that you will agree is going in the wrong direction. The rate of low birth weight is 6%, and of these, 1.6% are very low birth weight. Since I'm bringing you risk factors about New York State, we would be remiss to not present New York State as a whole, and the March of Dimes has indicated to us that every week in New York State, 595 babies are born prematurely, 102 babies are very premature, 400 babies are low birth weight, 73 babies are very low birth weight. These birth outcomes are costly. We often think of cost as being money. In 2005, Hillemeyer and his colleagues published a study that identified the annual burden for preterm birth at $51,600 per infant, totaling over $26 billion for the United States as a whole for the year of 2005, and we all know the economic trends since then. But this isn't only money that we're talking about. We're talking about costs to families, because these are families who have premature, low birth weight, very low birth weight infants who need increased doctor appointment visits, PT, OT. They need increased time commitments. And then it's costly to society, because in order for these families to receive all of these benefits, these communities struggle to meet the educational needs and support the programs that are needed. The purpose of this study that I'm presenting to you today is to examine various socioeconomic and demographic factors and level of health services in New York to provide a better understanding of county-level factors that contribute to premature birth, low birth weight, very low birth weight, and then low birth weight, but not very low birth weight. So for those of you who aren't familiar with these terms, premature birth is defined as being born less than 37 weeks gestation. And it is a time-oriented variable. Low birth weight, very low birth weight, and low birth weight, but not very low birth weight, are categories of low birth weight. And low birth weight is defined as less than 2,500 grams or 5.5 pounds at birth. Very low birth weight is less than 1,500 grams or 3.3 pounds at birth. And then in order to capture the range above premature, all the way up to the peak of low birth weight but not very low birth weight is defined as 1,500 grams to 2,499 grams at birth. So by examining these factors, the hope is to make appropriate recommendations to address the differential effects of these socioeconomic and demographic factors and level of health services on prematurity and categories of low birth weight, and then to be able to make appropriate recommendations that can aid health policy planners as they strive to obtain the accurate cost estimates and project future healthcare needs and costs. The maps that you see on the screen have dual purpose. The first is to show you New York State. New York State has 62 counties. It is not New York City alone, even though many people think that. There are rural and urban counties, and this study has considered all of these. The second is to illustrate for you the percentages of premature birth on the left, low birth weight in the middle, and very low birth weight on the right. And as you see them, the dark pink is representative of the highest rates of these outcomes. So the next thing that you need to understand about these maps is that counties that suffer from high rates of one of these birth outcomes do not necessarily suffer from high rates of all of them. There are many factors that contribute to these birth outcomes: rural versus urban location, maternal age, and I appreciated the second presentation. We're taking this a little bit further to birth outcomes. We've included adolescent moms defined as 15 to 19 years of age when giving birth. And because of how the data were reported, advanced maternal age is defined as 45 plus years of age when giving birth. Literature is replete with support for the Black population having the highest percentages of premature birth and low birth weight. Level of education, access to care, providers per county, participation in alcohol, tobacco, and illicit drug substance abuse, and socioeconomic status that includes level of poverty, rate of unemployment, and median household income. There are gaps in the literature, since many studies have examined individual level factors, but they haven't looked at the policy-related issues. The majority of studies have been conducted at the individual level, and in fact, there are no studies that have evaluated these contributing factors for birth outcomes at the county level for all counties of New York. So the research question is always important for a study. And the beginning of the research question is the same for every single question, so I'll read it to you once. What is the relationship between demographic factors, socioeconomic factors, and level of health services, and for question one, premature birth, for question two, low birth weight, for question three, very low birth weight, and for question four, low birth weight but not very low birth weight among New York counties? These are categories of research questions. Embedded in each of them are six demographic factor questions, three socioeconomic factor questions, and five level of health service questions. This was an ex post facto analysis of a secondary data set utilizing a descriptive correlational design. The data were obtained at the county level for all 62 counties in New York using the public domain websites that you see on the screen. And you've heard of the outcome variables already. So for New York County's analysis was conducted to explain a portion of these outcome variables that you have heard about over and over. The original data set contained well over 100 predictors, and that's way too many. So using bivariate correlations, we were able to reduce these to the most appropriate for the study and group them theoretically into the demographic predictors that you see on the screen, into the socioeconomic predictors, and the health service predictors that you see on the screen. And just as an aside, Medicaid providers and PCAP providers were added based on the phase out of PCAP through 2013. The hypothesis also reads the same for all outcomes. So again, I'll read it once for you. Those counties in New York that are more rural have fewer NICU and PICU beds per person, higher percentages of late or no prenatal care, and by definition, late prenatal care is care that begins in the third trimester of pregnancy. Higher percentages of Medicaid coverage for live births, higher percentage of out-of-wedlock births, higher percentage of population under the poverty line, lower levels of education, higher Black population rate, higher rates of drug-related newborn discharges, fewer Medicaid and PCAP providers, higher rates of unemployment, higher teen pregnancy rates, and higher advanced maternal age birth rates will have higher rates of each of the birth outcomes included in this study. So this is a busy slide, I understand that, and I'm going to walk you through it. This is a summary of the multiple regression findings for each of the outcome variables of premature birth, low birth weight, very low birth weight, and low birth weight, but not very low birth weight. So you see the predictors on the left. The minus means that the relationship did not go in the expected direction. The check means it did go in the expected direction. These are based on the hypotheses. And the star means that it's significant. So frankly, if it's not significant, it really doesn't matter. So we're going to talk about the ones that do matter this morning. Stepwise multiple regression yielded a model for premature birth that predicts 54% of the variation among New York counties. The significant predictors include location, advanced maternal age birth rates, percent Medicaid coverage for live births, and NICU beds per person. And you'll notice that two of those variables are not manipulable. I cannot change the location where the mother lived when she gave birth. I cannot change her age when she gave birth. Stepwise multiple regression yielded a model that explains 46% of the variation in low birth weight among New York counties. Significant predictors include the rate of drug-related newborn discharges, teen pregnancy rate, and rate of unemployment. And stepwise multiple regression yielded a model that explains 33% of the variation in very low birth weight among New York counties, with significant predictors being drug-related newborn discharges and rate of unemployment. And finally, stepwise multiple regression yielded a model that explains 40% of the variation in low birth weight, but not very low birth weight among New York counties, with significant predictors being teen pregnancy rate, percent Medicaid coverage for live births, and a brand new one popped out, Medicaid and PCAP providers. So I want to talk a little bit about them as a group. So we've identified where they fall in the chart, and now we'll talk about them one by one, the first being location. Findings from literature assign rurality with poorer birth outcomes. However, the concept that rural is synonymous with disadvantage was not supported when evaluating the rural continuum at an aggregate level. This flies in the face of rural theory. Advanced maternal age birth rates. Individual level studies have associated advanced maternal age birth outcomes with increases in morbidity and mortality. However, findings from aggregate level data analyses indicated that counties with higher maternal age birth rates have lower percentages of premature birth. Yet another thing that flies in the face of individual level studies. Percent Medicaid coverage for live births. This study found that in counties where there are higher percentages of Medicaid recipients, there are also higher percentages of premature birth and low birth weight, but not very low birth weight. NICU beds per person. This study found that in counties with higher numbers of NICU beds, there are higher percentages of premature birth. And this is completely understandable from a statistical perspective because we have to have NICU beds or we can't take care of premature and low birth weight infants. However, birth is reported by mom's county of residence, not by the place where the NICU beds are located. So this finding doesn't really make for policy recommendations because multiple regression is not causal. It's best used in a predictive manner, whereby we say, given the number of NICU beds, we can accurately predict a county's percentage of premature birth. Teen pregnancy rate. This study found that in counties with lower teen pregnancy rates, there are lower percentages of low birth weight and low birth weight, but not very low birth weight. So these findings demonstrate the value of programs like WIC and school-based clinics that provide preventive, prenatal, and nutritionally based care for the adolescent population. Rate of drug-related newborn discharges. This study found that in counties with lower rates of drug-related newborn discharges, there are lower percentages of low birth weight and very low birth weight. These findings demonstrate the value of preconception counseling, substance abuse counseling, free clinics, and needle exchange programs that help protect the health of the mother. Rate of unemployment. This study found that in counties with higher rates of unemployment, there are higher percentages of low birth weight and very low birth weight. This finding demonstrates the value of education in the areas of academics, technical skills, and trade skills to improve employment opportunities. And then finally, Medicaid and PCAP providers. This study found that in counties where there are higher rates of Medicaid and PCAP providers, there are lower percentages of low birth weight, but not very low birth weight. That's the little nuance variable. From a policy perspective, adding providers will help reduce poorer birth outcomes among New York counties. We all, you would recognize from the literature that there is a very poor provider-patient ratio in New York among their counties. The next slide I will also walk you through. Through the use of multiple regression equations, hypothetical savings can be calculated for each of the 62 counties in New York for each of the birth outcomes. For the purpose of this presentation, I chose the low birth weight outcome variable, and I'm showcasing only three counties for you this morning. The first is Bronx, which is in the New York City region. It has a rural-urban continuum code of 1, meaning that it is the most metropolitan. Chautauqua County has a rural urban continuum code of 4, meaning that it's non-metropolitan yet has an urban population of at least 20,000. And Allegheny County has a rural urban continuum code of 7, meaning that it's non-metropolitan but it has an urban population less than 20,000 and it is not adjacent to a metropolitan area. Those are the definitions provided by the Economic Research Service. So from 2004 to 2006, and we're going to work with the column under Bronx, there were 66,772 live births, which you'll see on the third line down, in Bronx County, decreasing the teen pregnancy rate by 1 from 127.6 to 126.6 would reduce the number of low birth weight babies by 10. So the way you arrive at that is by using the unstandardized beta value from your output and multiplying it by your 66,772 live births, and you come up with 10. Using Hillemeyer's figure of $51,600 per care for an infant and multiplying that by the 10, we can save $516,000. Decreasing the rate of drug-related newborn discharges by 1 from 124.7 to 123.7, and doing the same type of calculation would reduce the number of low birth weight babies by 5 to result in hypothetical cost savings of $258,000. And then as of August 2009, there were 72,500 unemployed in Bronx County, reducing the rate of unemployment from 13.2 to 12.2 would reduce the number of low birth weight babies by 148, resulting in a hypothetical savings of over $7 million. When we add that all together, we're looking at a hypothetical, and these are hypothetical, savings for Bronx County of over $8 million. Now, I mentioned to you we can do that for all of them, and obviously as you go further into the rural-urban continuum code, the population is less, and so the numbers are going to be less as well. But you can see the hypothetical savings for Chautauqua is over $567,000, and for Allegheny over $206,000. This study has made contributions in several areas. One is to rural theory. Rural theory includes components of disadvantage, isolation, and poverty. The components of disadvantage and poverty that lead to poorer birth outcomes were not supported in this aggregate level study. Analysis of aggregate level data demonstrated that birth outcomes were better in rural New York counties. And I do want to emphasize to you that I am talking about New York. I'm not talking about Colorado. These findings cannot be generalizable to everywhere in the United States. Contribution to policy. This study presented a unique effort at weaving concepts from nursing, rural sociology, and political science, demonstrating that solutions for poorer birth outcomes must integrate alternative approaches from a multitude of disciplines. Our healthcare will not do it alone. This study demonstrated the hypothetical monetary costs and benefits of investments in social policies for counties. And for nursing, findings may aid advanced practice nurses in the academic, community, and hospital settings as they participate in policy recommendation, formulation, and evaluation. This study demonstrated that a nursing research study can make an insightful contribution toward aggregate level outcomes analyses with unique perspectives for policy recommendations. The most significant contribution of this study is its ability to interpret social policy data at the aggregate level from a nursing perspective. You can see that many things fell out when we're not looking at individual. In particular, one I didn't mention was the black race, fell out on an aggregate level. This perspective synthesizes the intimate and in-depth understanding of birth outcomes in the clinical realm and incorporates it into the aggregate policy realm. It is this nursing outlook on public policy issues that contributes uniquely to the literature in a manner that other policy disciplines cannot. And thank you so much for coming.
Are there questions? Yes.
I have a question for the last speaker. It was an excellent presentation.
Thank you.
On the recommendations I think that in general, when people, particularly non-public health nurses, so other nurses and people outside of nursing, hear the recommendation about providers, it's physicians, advanced practicing, midwife, and nurse practitioners. What recommendation from a policy standpoint might you suggest the role of public health nurses?
I don't know if you're familiar with the program Doctors Across New York, but Doctors Across New York is a program that encourages physicians to move into underserved areas by providing them grant money to either start clinics, join clinics, get increased monetary benefit for going to underserved areas, and pay back their education loans. We don't have anything like that for midwives, for public health nurses, for advanced practice nurses of any other discipline, and that's one thing that I would recommend, to make these incentive programs so that more of these kinds of providers can go into underserved areas and they can make the kind of money that they need to survive, because that will greatly reduce. We need 300 more providers in New York to close this gap of not enough providers for the correct provider-patient ratios.
If I may add to that also, this study demonstrates that social policies are actually beneficial. You are spending some money, but the returns are really significant, especially when you look at things like the drug-related discharges and things like that. I think public health nurses have a very important role in the application of those.
Right, and I agree. I think sometimes, though, if that's not specifically articulated, politicians in particular will hear providers and they'll give you more money for the doctors. And
this is sort of a very good case for Karl Rove to say that you're going to make a social investment, but you're going to get a lot in return.
Thank you.
And I think there's a question here that was first.
I just kind of wanted to piggyback on that question and find out if in the state of New York they have you would have the ability to take what you learn and get a count of the number of public health nurses per county and see if that had any effect as well for counties that do have more public health services, especially public health nurses in general, and how that might play out when you have the number of Medicaid and PCAP providers, if you could parallel that with the number of public health nurses.
That is possible. That is also an idea that we've already talked about for doing that would be really beneficial, especially in the light of the nurse partnership and all of the studies that have been mentioned already about the benefit of public health nursing, the one-on-one home visits, and all of the care that they provide. Yes, we've talked about doing that. It's an excellent idea.
So good for your first R01.
Right.
Having just spent the last year having a legislative committee in Suffolk County, New York, that sought to look at the cost-benefit analysis of public health nursing home visitation, specifically in the areas related to moms. I can't believe how important your research is going to be. I look forward to being able to access it.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One is on the speaker who was talking about teen pregnancy. I think
yes,
really, you. And you talked at the beginning of your discussion, all the studies that showed that teen pregnancy really didn't have all these awful outcomes. Do you have a list of those studies or the references, or can we email you?
Yeah,
or?
Sure. Email me, and I'll be happy to send a report
I'll get your card then. And then to the epidemiologist, you had a slide up where you had two recommendations. The first one being nurses in general would benefit from rediscovering their roots, et cetera. But there was a second recommendation, and I couldn't, what was it?
It was essentially learn your epidemiology. And you need to be a content expert to be able to teach the material. Like, say, epidemiology might work to acquire expertise in epidemiology to foster a social